community going, and you're like, hey, how was the weekend? What did you do? They're all talking, but there's somebody just outside of that circle, somebody just outside of that conversation, and guess what? They don't feel like they belong. They don't. They don't feel like they belong, okay? And what happens is they're like, wait a minute. This is a community going on. This is a conversation going on, and I've come, but I don't belong. And the problem with this is I've seen this in churches, and I totally get it, and I've been totally guilty of it because I have not seen you since last week. And I just can't wait to come and hang out with you. But what happens is we get into that routine. Everybody say routine. Where we sit where we always sit. We talk with the people we always sit with. Okay? We got our routine. I come in the front door. I say hi to the greeters. My next routine is I go get my coffee. Then I sit over here and I talk with the people that I just always sit with. Especially if it's the family, right? All right? So what happens, and we do that. We do that in church. And, you know, I get it. We do it in our small groups. I get it. And I want you to build community. I want you to build relationships. Michael was sharing that. That's really good. Awesome. You should. But there are people that are walking through that your eye has not caught. There are people that are walking right through that you have only saw the me. All right? And so that what happens is church is more about me, instead of about, how about the we, all right? It's more about what I need. It's about me getting my fix and me hearing my song and me hearing my message and me just sitting where I want to sit, okay? And listen, and me getting God to just to do things in my life. And God will, and God really loves it when you come to hear a message, when you come to worship, when you come to pray. He does, he loves that, and he'll do all those great things for you. But how about this? Church is more than just you. Church is about we. If you're taking notes, that's a good one for the week. Church is more than church is about the we's more than the me's. Okay? And it just, and yes, I get it. Like I hadn't seen Randy since last week, so we just go dodging up to talk, okay? And I forget about all the we's, okay? I understand that. But how about church is more than me? Church is more than me. So how about if you would see yourself so valuable that you could go to somebody else, all right? The others, all right? So here's a challenge for us, for as a church, okay, that we would not just get caught up in our relationships, our communities, but we'd always be, you know, watching and reaching out and pulling somebody into our conversation, our circle. How about our team, all right? So that they can go, oh, I feel like I belong here. I feel like this, I could be here. I feel like they care about me, all right? So, again, we have these signs and they're indicators, okay? And those are a whole bunch of negative ones that we just sort of threw up there, okay? But here's a good one. There's a picture of this girl. Yay, what a big smile. This is a girl that's smiling, and how about if somebody, that day that Jack and I walked into a church, that I didn't know anybody, that nobody talked to me, but how about that day somebody walked up to me and smiled at me? How do you think I would have felt? A lot better. How about they actually stopped and looked at me and smiled at me? How do you think, what do you think people think when that happens? Like, whoa, wow. Praise God. They just might want to have a conversation with me. This might be a place that I belong in, all right? So here's my last picture. This is a picture of two girls hugging. Woo-hoo! You know girls, okay? Okay. Now, there is a myth going around here that I don't like to hug. I do, okay? I do. But if you make the first move, I'll give you the hug, okay? I just grew, you know, I'm being transformed, okay? I grew up in a family, and this is my excuse, you know, you should always, but because of this, I grew up in a family, I never heard the words, I love you. It was, I don't know why. So, and the only time you got, I don't know that I ever got hugged. I got spanked because I did a lot of things wrong. Okay, so 40 plus years growing in Jesus, I like hugs, okay? All right, sometimes I'll tap out. Pastor Sherry gives you a hug, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. She just makes you melt, all right? Okay, getting back to the picture, all right? All right, so praise God. How about if you just smile? Oh, we're in the hugs, okay? So just imagine that you could actually cross your boundaries and give somebody a hug. Okay, if you don't want to give a hug, how about you give them a high five? How about you give them a handshake? And if you're still into elbow bumping, go for it, okay? You don't have to do that anymore, all right? But it is proven there's something about a physical touch that opens up a person and they feel, I belong. I'm cared about. Gosh, somebody might like me, all right? Okay, enough of my pictures, but so this question about do I belong, I think it's really important that we find these things, that we understand these things, and whatever place we walk into, whether you walk into a church, you walk into a job, you walk into a meeting, you need to find the signals, and especially if they're negative. So you walk into that church, or I've been into a meeting where I was asked to attend a meeting. I walked into the meeting. Nobody looked at me. Nobody said hello to me. Guess what that was? A lot of negative signs, okay? A lot of them going on. And then, you know what it tells me? I think I'm in the wrong place, right? For the meeting, I had to be, but maybe church, like, this isn't the place that I belong in. And, you know, when we have those signs and we read them, it says this is the wrong place. Do you know what we do? We run from those places. We flee from those places. And you can imagine that someone would flee from church, all right, from a small group, from a conversation because of all these negatives. I feel like I don't belong, okay? And actually what happens is survival instincts kick in, right? Okay? This is uncomfortable. This is awkward. This is not a place I belong. This is not a place I want to be in. I am going to run from these people. All right? So that's not a good sign, okay? So the flip side, how about you walk into a small group, you walk into church, you walk into a team meeting, you walk in there, and you sense like you belong. Well, you know what happens? You run to that, okay? It's the flip side. You run to it, all righty? And how about you come to church early because you want to hang out, and you stay later because you want to jump in conversations, because I've had these good signs, these good indicators in my life, like, I think I belong here. I think this is a good place to be, all right? So it's really important for us as individuals and for us as a church, because look around you. How many of you have seen most of these people before? Just look, okay? Nobody's got masks on. We're doing great, okay? So how about the new people come in here, all right? They're coming in here. Amen. So they need to see, they need to feel those indicators that I belong. Yes, I belong. But it's really interesting. There have been many, many people that have felt rejected in their life. They didn't feel like they belong. I have talked to Pastor Sherry, probably even more so, to kids that feel like they didn't belong in their family. Their parents were really harsh on them, and some were abused by them, and they're like, I don't fit in my family. I don't feel like I belong. That's not good. And then there's you know, what about kids that have been bullied, okay, and just ridiculed in life, and they grow up, and they have had so much of that in their life that they are looking for the good signs so that they will feel like they belong, all right? So enough of that. Open up your Bibles to Psalm 27. I want to tell you a story. I'm going to tell two stories about two guys, and this is about belonging. And the first one, you're going to go, what? The first guy we're going to talk about is King David. You know, you think King David, he was pretty cool. He kills Goliath and giants and just like that. But he really struggled with this issue many times in his life. Do I belong? So are you over at Psalm 27? Psalm 27, verse 7. And again, this is David, King David. The Bible says he's a man after God's heart. a man after God's heart, okay? And I like Psalms because they tell the struggles. They just don't tell all the pretty pictures like we're posing on the outside. David, when he writes Psalms, he tells you some of the real deal hard stuff. So that's why I like Psalms. But here we go. Psalms 27, verse 7. Hear me as I pray, O Lord, be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come, talk with me. And my heart has responded, Lord, I'm coming. So here we have David, all right, and he's praying. And he says, God, I heard you say, come on, come over here. So I'm coming in. But the next verse, you're going to hear his hesitation. Okay, listen to the next verse, verse 9. Don't turn your back on me. Don't reject me, your servant, in anger. This is David, a man after God's own heart, right? Don't turn your back on me. Don't reject your servant. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation, even if my father and mothers abandon me. So here's David just crying out, God, I don't know if you're going to abandon me. God, don't reject me, okay? And even in his relationship, he had a relationship, a man after God's own heart. Even in his relationship, he was struggling to figure out if he belonged, if he was welcome before the Lord. And I think there's a lot of people here that we go through life and we even struggle to figure out if we are welcome to go into the presence of God and have a relationship, all right? Like, God, could you love me? God, I know you've sent Jesus to die for the people, but God, I don't know if you did that for me. I don't know, God, if you want me, all right? And nobody in my world has loved me. Everybody's rejected me. God, do you even want me? There's people like that, and that might be you today, okay? And so here is David, and he's pretty cool. He's the king. He's quite prosperous, but he had these moments where he wasn't sure if he belonged, all right? Second person I want to talk to, turn to Isaiah. We're going to talk about Isaiah, okay, because this really digs into the issue about belonging, Isaiah. Isaiah is this guy, and he has this encounter with God, and he has this response, and then there's things that go on, and it changes him and stuff like that. So here's the first part, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. I don't know how many times I read over that, and I started to dig, and I realized that was just not a filler station. Statement. Let's just put that in there because we don't know what else. Really, in the year that King Uzziah died, tells you a picture of what's going on in the culture, what's going on in society. It's telling you how the people feel. It's telling you how the people are thinking, all right? So in the year that King Uzziah died, right? So you think, oh, I don't know. But what you have to understand is back in that day, where the king is where the country goes. Or as the king is, so the country goes. All right? As the king is, so the country goes. So if the king is a good king, if the king has a relationship with God, if the king is following God's directions, if the king just is doing all of that, then it says that the country is doing good. The country is doing good, all right? So that means the economy's good. That means the military's good. That means that nobody's coming in and stealing their food and their land, and no one's stealing their kids and their wives because it's good, all righty? Now, how about you have a king that's not good? How about you have a king that doesn't know God, that doesn't have a relationship, isn't following God's commands? Then the country's struggling. The country's struggling. Now, it's really interesting back then when they had their kings. There was no terms of office. Like our president can only serve 2 terms, which is equivalent to 8 years. If you were a king, and some of them were made kings when they were 8 years old and 16 years old and 70 years old, if you were made a king, you were there until you died. okay? And then you didn't know who the next one was going to be. You're like, oh, God, please let this be a good one and sane. Please, God, all right? So here we have King Uzziah. He's a good king. He reigned for about 40, 50 years. He wasn't perfect, but he had a heart for God, and he followed God, and he had a relationship with God, all right? So the country is doing really, really good. Their economy's good. They got jobs. The military's good, which is really odd because Israel is surrounded by all these bad kings that are always trying to attack them. And they were living because the king was good, the country was good, and they are living in peace. All right? So it's really good for a long time. Now, the good king has died. And it's sort of like throw the dice, let's see who we get next, okay? And therefore, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of questioning going on, there's a lot of fear, all right? And King Uzziah says, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, we were in transition. We were in the unknown. We didn't know what was going to happen. Kind of sounds like where we are, right? Okay, so here we go. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that the king died. How about this? In the year the king died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. In the year that the king Uzziah died, Isaiah saying, I saw the Lord. So he's saying, in this craziness, I saw God. In this craziness, I turned my face to look to God and not to the news and not to the ball game and not to the conspiracy theories and not to everybody else's what's saying. In the year that King Uzziah died, I turned my face to see the Lord. Okay? And he was high and lifted up. So you know what? Then I'm going to take my eyes off of this crazy things that are going here, and I'm going to look to the Lord because his thoughts are higher than my thoughts and his ways are higher than my ways, right? So Isaiah says, in the year that the king died and the craziness, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he goes to explain this incredible scene. He goes on, this is the next part, just to go and explain this incredible scene here. And I just imagine if I was Isaiah and I am going to tell you what I just saw, you would have thought, what did you drink? What did you smoke? That's really crazy. It is a really crazy scene. So listen to verse 2, Isaiah 6, verse 2. It goes like this. Attending him, so he saw the Lord, and then he goes, attending him, the Lord, were mighty seraphims, each having six wings. Two wings covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew, and they were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's army, the whole earth filled with his glory. And then, verse 4, their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. So, what is he saying? There's these massive creatures that are flying around the throne of God, and they're singing, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God, holy. And they are singing with such volume and such unity and such magnitude. It says that the temple's foundation shook, and smoke filled the place. Pretty amazing. It's amazing. And Isaiah recognizes right away, uh-oh, I am in the wrong place. Okay, I don't belong here, okay? Because look what he says in verse 5. Then I, this is Isaiah, said, it's all over, I'm doomed. In other words, uh-oh, I'm in the wrong place. I didn't see the sign, private, keep out. Uh-oh, I made a wrong turn. This isn't the place. I'm doomed. I'm a dead man, all right? That's what he's saying, all right? And you go, well, why? Well, listen to what verse 5 says, the rest of verse 5. For I am a sinful man, and I have filthy lips, and I live among filthy people, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. So he's saying, I'm a sinful human being. I'm broken. I have stepped into the presence of God. He knew exactly where he was. He wasn't like, I don't know if I've ever been here. He knew exactly where he was because long ago, God had talked to Moses and God had said, Moses, I want to be with my people. I want to be with my people, so I want you to build me a tabernacle, a tent, so I can be with my people. Isaiah knew this. And so the tent that Moses was commanded by God to build so that God could be with there had different sections. The first one was the outer section. Anybody could go there. It didn't matter who you were, whether you're rich or poor or sinner or not, you could go in and out of the outer courts. It was always open for anybody, okay? And then there were the inner courts, and then there was sort of a select few that could go in there, and then there was the holy place. And the holy place, just a few people could go in there. And you had to come from the right family, you had to know the right things, and they had to be the right things, okay? And then there was the Holy of Holies. Okay, and nobody could go into the Holy of Holies. Nobody was allowed in there because if you went into the Holy of Holies, you were going to drop dead. Boom, drop dead, all right? But once a year, the high priest was selected, and he could go into the Holy of Holies. But first he'd have to make all these sacrifices and atonement, and he'd have to do all these things so that his sins were for covered and taken care of. And then he would fearfully go into the Holies of Holies, like, God, I can't believe I picked the wrong straw. God, I really don't want to be here. God, please don't kill me today. Please, God, please, okay? So this is the high priest going into the Holies of Holies, all right? Now, before he went into the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around his leg, a big, heavy, long rope, and then they sewed bells on the bottom of his robe. And the reason why they did that, because he was going into the Holies of Holies. He was going into the presence of God. Praise God. And so when he would go in there, he would make sacrifices for the entire nation of Israel for once a year. All right. Now, as he's walking in, swish, 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 jingle, 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 that told him, oh, he's still good. He's good. All right. Okay. And they're like, okay, all right. But every once in a while, they had a high priest that didn't do things right, all right? He didn't maybe do the atonement and the sacrifices right, and he didn't do all of that. And he walked in there, jingle, 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 boom, on the ground. No more bells. And they're like, uh-oh, we don't hear anything. So they're not going in, the rest of the priests, because anybody that went in there would drop dead. So what did they do? Grab that rope, pulled that dead guy out. Okay, it's funny when you talk about it, but it was really fearful, in awe. And because of that, Isaiah recognized, oh, I'm in that place. I am in the Holy of Holies. And I know that some guys died, dropped dead in there. I am in the wrong place. I took a wrong turn, okay? So he's looking for the escape hatch, and he's looking for a way out, and he's hiding behind things, okay? Now, remember, when you are in a place you know you don't belong, what does your instinct say? Run! Get out of here! And that's exactly what he's doing. Okay, verse 6, okay? Then, okay, so he's in the Holies of Holies. He's in the presence of God. All right, and there's these creatures, okay, verse 6. Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lip with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven, okay? So here's this one. Now this is the throne of God, and there's bunches of these creatures, and one of them who's in the middle of worship, who's worshiping the Lord God, holy, 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 takes notice of this guy running around like an idiot trying to hide, right? And what does he do? He picks up some tongs and out of the altar burning, and he picks up a coal and he puts it on Isaiah's lips, okay? And he actually touches the part of Isaiah that has acknowledged that I am sinful, right? And this creature, this seraphim, is saying, hey, Isaiah, listen, I know, I want to tell you something. I know you feel like you don't belong here. I know you feel like you took a wrong turn. I know you feel like that, but I want you to know, you belong here. Isaiah, you belong in the presence of God, okay? I know you got sin in your life. I know that you have said some things that you wish you'd never said. I know you have done some things that you wish you never did. But listen, I am going to touch you with this coal, and your guilt and your sin is forgiven. Praise God. So, you know, guys, sometimes we walk into the presence of God. Sometimes we walk into a church. All right, and sometimes we're like, man, I don't belong here. I don't know. I feel like I don't deserve to be in the presence of God. I have done some things. I really shouldn't be here, okay? And I know that God's the way maker, and I know that he's sent Jesus, but I don't know if I belong here. And there's people that walk into our services, and that's going through their minds. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter about your mistakes, because God says, I want you here. I want you to belong here. I want you in my presence. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God, all right? So maybe you did something this week that you shouldn't have done. Maybe you said something this week that you shouldn't have done. Maybe you did something a long time ago that you feel like it just disqualifies you, and it always is bleep, bleep, bleep. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter to God. He wants you to belong. He wants you in his presence. He wants you to say, this is you, this is where I want you, okay? Now, I've prayed with people, and it's really interesting. You know, I don't know that God can forgive me. I don't know that God loves me. I think God's mad at me. You don't know what I've done. And God is always the God that says, you belong to me. You belong in my presence. Okay? Now, God understands the power of sin. All right? Sin. Romans 6. What is it? For the wages of sin is death. Somebody tell me where that's found, because I forgot it. The wages of sin is death. Yell it. 6:23, thank you. All right. God understands the power of sin. The wages of sin is death. And the word death there doesn't mean boom on the ground. It means separated. That word, so the wages of sin is separated. Okay? Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and they didn't, boop, drop dead. They lived hundreds of years, okay? So what happened? They sinned, and they were separated from God. Okay? They were separated. Sin will separate you from God, okay? And that is why God had to create that system of the tent, all right? Because he was like, well, so he created this system so that a priest would go in, and once a year he would make sacrifices for your sins, praise God, and then your sins would be forgiven and you'd be covered, all right? So that's what God did, had to do. But turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. God did all of that so that he could be close to us. I love God. God wants to be close to you. God wants to be close to you. And he did all of that so we could have a relationship with him through people. Now, that was the tabernacle. That was the tent. But Hebrews come along. Jesus comes along, and he just radically changes that. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, guess what? You still have a high priest. His name is Jesus, okay? But it's changed radically on how it's done, all right? So since we have a great high priest who has ascended to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to our faith and profess. Thank you. So what is he saying? Jesus died on the cross, rose again. He went up to the throne room of God, and he presented his blood, the ultimate sacrifice. And he presented it before God, and he said, "This is my blood, and now you have access to come to the throne room of God anytime because of what Jesus did, because of his blood. You now have access." I love it, okay? So it's really interesting. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, evangelist. You don't need any of those guys to go into the presence of God anytime you want because of what Jesus did. Everybody say, "I have access to God anytime." Amen. All right. So verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." Jesus understood what it was like to be a human. He understood our struggles. He understood what betrayal was. He understood temptations, okay? Because when Jesus left heaven, came to the earth, he was 100% man. He was 100% human, okay? So he understood human condition. He understood what your brain was thinking. He understands our troubles and our struggles, and he says he emphasizes with us, okay? Verse 16. Let's finish 15. "But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Verse 16, this is the cool part. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with fear," with shame. No, "let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our needs," okay? So you know what that tells me? You can walk into church anytime you want, and you are welcome. You can walk into the presence of the Lord because you are welcome and you belong, right? You can walk in, why? Because of what Jesus did. He made you able to do all of that. He made you, praise God. Now, I want to back up to Isaiah, and I want us to look at the transition. This guy changed. Listen to this, okay? He goes from hiding from God and trying to get out of God's presence to having this experience with this being who comes and touches him with a coal and says, "Hey, your sins and your guilt are forgiven," okay? So that's all happened, and then he overhears, it's so cute, he overhears a conversation by God, the Lord God. Like God is saying, "You know, I need somebody to be my representative. I need a prophet to go and speak for me. I need somebody that will communicate to my people." And because Isaiah has had this transformation where he used to be hiding because he thinks he's going to drop dead because he's in the presence of God, he's had this transformation, and now he's like, "Ooh, ooh, here I am. Ooh, ooh, send me. Ooh, ooh, I'll be the one. I can go do it." Isn't that cool? He had a transformation, all right? Praise God. And that transformation, it was, "I belong, I can, and I will," all right? So what's so significant about that for you and me? Great story, Pastor D. I love when you start jumping around and waving your arms. But what does that have to do with us? If you're taking notes, write this down. Ready? Because a sense of belonging always creates a sense of purpose. A sense of belonging, "I belong," always creates a sense of purpose, all right? So when people recognize I belong with God, when people recognize I can get close to God, when people recognize I can have a relationship with God, all of a sudden my purpose, ooh, I have purpose, okay? And before we're running from God, God's mad at me, I better get away from him. And then when we recognize I belong to God, I belong here, God loves me. Matter of fact, God, give me some purpose. Give me some things. I'm going to go do it, okay? So it's amazing. It's just amazing. When you have a sense of belonging, God loves me. God wants me. I belong. I'm a child of the Most High God. I am who he says I am. Then all of a sudden, we have purpose in our life, okay? Now, before Isaiah had this encounter, well, let's just say, after Isaiah had this encounter, this moment, woo, he had a moment where he was in the presence of God and he wasn't running and he wasn't scared. He had a moment, and it must have been peaceful. It must have been, I know you're not supposed to go by feelings, but I bet every hair on his hand stood up, like, okay, all right. But before that, it got a little uncomfortable. Before he had that moment where the seraphim touched him with the coal and said, your sins are forgiven, before that, he was a little uncomfortable, right? He was uncomfortable. He was uncomfortable. He was trying to hide. He's trying to get away from the presence of God, all right? And it wasn't until God got through the coal, touched him, and said, your sins are forgiven. Your guilt disappears, okay? And guys, until we have that encounter with God, we will run from God, okay? All right, and God doesn't want you to run. And he understands that what makes us run is the sin. And he understands how powerful sin is. And sin will separate you from a whole lot of things. I've seen sin separate spouses. Sin separate from friends and kids when you hold sin, all right? But listen, there's one thing sin won't do. Sin won't separate you from God. When you've received Jesus, your sins are covered. God will always love you. You are always stand before him after you receive him as you are forgiven, okay? So just closing up, oh, praise the Lord. Two things to remember. Ready? Two things I want you to, that's like the main idea I want you to walk out of here. One, you belong. And maybe you walked in here and you go, I don't know if I belong. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Listen, I just want you to know you belong. You belong with God and you belong in his presence. You belong. And don't ask me to be the person to go in for you anymore. You belong. You belong in his presence, okay? And there's nobody and nothing that can separate you from the love of God and his presence, all right? Now, once you figure out you belong, woo, then you have a responsibility. Then you have a responsibility because you become a seraphim. Pastor D. No. You become a seraphim. You get to worship. You get to come into the presence of God and worship him. And you don't have to come here just on Sunday. You don't have to have music on. But once you belong and once you are in the presence of God, you are a seraphim and you can worship. And I pray that this church just rocks it, that the foundations rock it, that we worship when we gather corporately so loud. And it is just... bam, on the floor. But more than that, I pray that you would come every time, anytime, into the presence of God because you love him, you adore him, and you are so thankful for what he's done in your life. Okay, seraphims, all right? So we're seraphims, okay? But so now you have a responsibility not only to be like a seraphim, not only to come into his presence because you have full access to worship, but you have a responsibility to help others to belong. Okay? You have a responsibility. It is not me. I have a responsibility, but it's not the pastor. It's not Pastor Sherry. It's not evangelist. The day that you belong, whoo, which is awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome, then you have a responsibility to help others to belong, all right? So how do you do that? How do you help people belong? You get in their face. You're going to hell. You're a sinner. Get on your knees. I have seen signs. I have been on street corners where street preachers have preached that. And I want to tell you, it might work, and I'm not, okay, say nice things for him. Nice thing is a blessing, okay? It was the goodness, the kindness of God that led me to repentance. That's what the Bible says. How many of you, it was the kindness of God, right? The goodness of God that drew me in where I received Jesus and I knew I belonged, all right? So how about, do you think God could use your smile? Everybody smile. Come on, look at somebody and smile. Show your teeth, all right? How about, you think God could use your hug? Do you think God could use your invitation? Like, hey, neighbor, you want to come to church with me? Or, hey, you, do you want to go out to lunch with me afterwards? I'm paying, right? Okay? Those are part of the kindness and the goodness of God, the kindness that just helps people, okay? So Yes, you belong. Two, you have a responsibility. And so here's the challenge. Would you extend what you are, that you belong, would you extend that and help pull somebody in? All right? It's not hard. It's not hard. So this sort of might have felt like, sort of might have kind of, like I beat you up. But it's a challenge. Everybody go, yay, the challenge. Yay. Do the Rocky thing, Rocky. Okay, it's a challenge because you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday for me. All right? So would you say, Lord, here am I, send me. And then just smile. Just smile. Start that way. Start looking at somebody in the eye and smile, okay? So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you, I just thank you for everybody that belongs in your presence. Everybody say, I belong in the presence. I thank you, Father, that there's nothing that we did to deserve it. It was by your grace, by the love and the sacrifice of Jesus. And we just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making a way that we could be in your presence, that we could be belong. Praise God. And I just want to give everybody just a moment, I want to give you a moment, maybe a moment like Isaiah. And maybe you came in here and you're like, man, I don't know if I feel good being here. Man, they just had this worship that was, whoa. And then this lady saying words, and it's like, whoa. But I want to give you a moment and ask you, do you know that you belong in the presence of God? Do you know? And if you don't, today is a good day to have an Isaiah moment. So I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. No looking around, because I'm going to look around. But I want to ask, if you're ready to have a moment to receive Jesus, to say, God, I want to belong. I want to ask your presence, your life, your son into my life. So if you're here and you would like to do that, you've never done it before, you can raise your hand. I'm the only one looking around. We're going to pray for you. All right? Praise God. It's just anybody. You know, it takes courage to commit to somebody. It takes courage to commit to Jesus. But I'm telling you, he'll change you from the inside out. And you will belong to him forever and in his presence. So is there anybody that would say, Pastor D, would you pray for me? I want to belong. Okay. All right. Here's my second offer. You know, sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we say things, sometimes we do things after we've received Jesus. You know, I've welcomed him into my heart. I belong to him. I belong in the presence. But you know, this week was a doozy, and I said bleep bleep and I did boom boom or whatever, you know. And then I know I missed the mark and I sinned. And God just knows we're gonna sin sometimes, and he makes it so easy. He just says, come to me real quick and say, man, I messed up. Father, I'm so sorry. And you know what he says? I forgive you. I forgive you. All right? And the problem is, if you don't do that, what happens is, and I've done it, I've been so ignorant, I start moving away and moving away and moving away. Better yet, I start separating myself from a God who says, D, you belong. So if you've had, feel like you've just separated, jump back in there and say, Lord, I've messed up. And he's like, yeah, I know, I watched it. And just say, I'm so sorry, and I thank you for forgiveness, okay? And then come back to him. Come back to his presence every day, anytime, all the time. Amen? Amen. All right. Everybody say, I belong, and I'm a puller in other people to the presence. Amen. Hey, we love you. Thursday, skate night. If I got a dollar, we'll make $5 for everybody that said, I don't skate, So who cares? Why don't you come and belong?
Only half the kids skate.
I'm skating. Through great intercession, I put on my skates and I go out there, all right? So come and join us. Belong. Be in our community, all right? And if you don't skate, good. Just come and hang out. We're going to have a good time. All right, you guys are blessed coming in, blessed going out. Have a wonderful day. Keep your light bright.